Hello and welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, Fulton County will face fines for not confirming two election board members accused of being election deniers. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution will stop providing its print edition at the end of the year, and Georgia communities experience the new realities of the Trump administration's increased immigration arrests.
Immediately, we were like, okay, we need to provide a different type of education, because even though these are our rights, we're following it, but they're not.
Today is Thursday, August 28th. I'm Orlando Montoya, and this is Georgia Today. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution has announced plans to stop providing its printed edition at the end of this year. AJC president and publisher Andrew Morse says the company will continue to publish on its website, AJC.com, on the AJC mobile app, as well as through video podcasts and across other digital platforms. The AJC was founded in 1863 and has been printing papers for almost 157 years. The decision will make Atlanta the largest U.S. metro area without a printed daily newspaper. The final AJC printed edition will be December 31st, 2025. A federal judge has thrown out Georgia Attorney General Chris Carr's campaign finance lawsuit against Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones. The suit alleged Jones has an unfair fundraising advantage as the two Republicans run for governor next year. Carr sued earlier this month, asking a judge to prohibit Jones from using a special leadership committee that allows for unlimited fundraising. Carr alleged his free speech and equal protection rights were being violated. U.S. District Court Judge Victoria Marie Calvert dismissed Carr's lawsuit today. She ruled that Carr should have challenged the law instead of suing his rival. A Fulton County Superior Court judge has ruled in favor of the Fulton County Republican Party in a case involving Republican appointments to the County Board of Elections. GPB's Sarah Callis reports.
Judge David Emerson ruled that Fulton County commissioners must vote to confirm the two Republican nominees to the County Election Board.
I didn't see anywhere in that legislation that the commission was given veto power over the nominees. Is it in there? Did I miss it?
Lawyers for the commissioners claim those who failed to confirm the nominees were exercising their legislative power. The Republican nominees at the center of the debate, Julie Adams and Jason Fraser, are accused of being election deniers. The commission failed to confirm their nominations earlier this month. Emerson's ruling says that the commission will be fined $10,000 per day until they appoint the nominees starting Friday. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis in Atlanta.
The second Trump administration marks a shift in how people without legal U.S. immigration status are arrested. In many places, rather than federal agents from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, local law enforcement officers are making the arrests. That practice is encouraged under federal and state law, but it's left immigrants at the center of the target on edge. GPB's Sophie Gratis has more from one community in South Georgia experiencing this new norm.
Lorenzo Sarabia Morales' home is at the end of a gravel road in Moultrie in South Georgia's Colquitt County. On this night, a stifling heat wave outside isn't stopping Lorenzo's son and other neighborhood kids from playing soccer. But in the house, the family's window unit is blasting. Lorenzo has only recently returned home from Stuart Detention Center over 100 miles away. That's where he spent Father's Day. His present?
Nos regalaron una coca y unos chocolates. De M&M's. No sabemos quién lo mandó, pero lo mandaron. Dijeron que era de parte del gobierno.
They gave us a Coke and some M&M's, he says. They said it was from the government. Lorenzo was put in ICE detention after being arrested on May 12th in an operation organized by the Department of Homeland Security. DHS had asked Colquitt County to help them arrest local people with outstanding warrants, and it did. But then word got out that ICE was in town. That operation expanded beyond the warrant service and into a joint patrol by DHS and local police.
Yo estaba trabajando como 30 minutos de aquí.
Lorenzo was working 30 minutes away. He says his wife called and said that she had heard there was an immigration raid going on.
Y yo dejo de hacer lo que estaba yo haciendo.
He stopped what he was doing.
Me vengo para la casa junto con otra persona.
And came home right away with another person. They got caught during the joint patrol, pulled over by a local officer just a few miles from home.
No, yo sentí miedo.
I was scared, he says.
Siempre le he tenido miedo a los policías.
He's always been scared of police, despite having no criminal warrants. Lorenzo's work visa expired in 2019. What happened to Lorenzo is one result of two laws. There's Georgia HB 1105, which requires county sheriffs to fully comply with federal immigration law or face criminal charges. Then there's a section of federal immigration law called 287G. It gives local police the option to receive training from ICE to make arrests themselves. But according to ICE records, neither the Colquitt County Sheriff's Office nor the Moultrie Police Department had such training before the May 12th Joint Patrol.
When it started over there,
this all marks a change in how Alma Young with the United Farm Workers Union has understood the rules of immigration enforcement in Georgia. She says Know Your Rights campaigns have long been the strategy during times like this. Those rights used to fit on a little red card.
The red card says don't open the door, don't answer any questions, don't sign anything.
But then came the May 12th arrests.
They were expecting to see ICE badges, ICE agents, but we're seeing local police. And immediately we were like, okay, we need to provide a different type of education because even though these are our rights, we're following it, but they're not.
It's not the first time local police have been used in immigration enforcement, says Atlanta immigration attorney Charles Cook.
It's no surprise to me, and it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody who's been in Georgia for 20 years, that this is happening.
Similar tactics were deployed under President Obama. What's different now is that cities and counties that don't comply with immigration enforcement have a lot more at stake. The Trump administration has threatened litigation, public exposure, and a termination of federal funding, says Cook.
So they understand, look, if we don't cooperate with ICE, they're probably going to yank our money.
So far, federal courts have blocked efforts by the Trump administration to pull money out of so-called sanctuary cities and states. Georgia was recently taken off that list. Cook says because of state law, some sheriffs in Georgia may be afraid anyways of being charged with a crime for not working with federal law enforcement.
At least here in Georgia, where there's state laws addressing these issues, it doesn't matter whether you're 287G or not. You're still going to cooperate with ICE.
In Colquitt County, the arrests and the fear that followed them have already meant a blow to the county's primary industry, agriculture. Republican Chaz Cannon represents the area around Colquitt County in the Georgia House. He agrees with President Trump's push to deport people, but he says after the May 12th arrests, he got calls from dozens of farmers.
And they said, well, my guys didn't show up for work today. And this guy's crew didn't show up for work today. That's a problem.
He wishes, for the sake of farmers' profits, there was a better, easier way to keep workers here, and that local officers could choose what immigration arrests they make.
If they stop somebody that's illegal, I mean, they have that's the law. But again, we're putting law enforcement in that position to make that decision on the fly. And there needs to be some more delineation, some more clarity. And so that's kind of what we're asking for.
Lorenzo Sarabia Morales, a father of three, spent years building a life and family in this South Georgia community. But his arrest and detention mark a shift. Both Lorenzo and his wife now say they would feel safer back in Mexico.
El sueño americano no existe. Yo lo vine a buscar y no lo encontré.
The American dream doesn't exist, Lorenzo says. I came to find it and could not. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gradas in Colquitt County.
The growing number of dementia diagnoses is contributing to the gap between longevity and quality of life. That's according to a new report from the Milken Institute. GPB's Ellen Eldridge has more on a disease impacting thousands of Georgians.
People are living longer, but those with dementia experience a worsening quality of life. That means the sooner Alzheimer's disease is detected, the better. Mike Brown is with the Milken Institute. He says federal policymakers are currently making decisions about what early detection Medicare will cover.
So one act being introduced again right now is called the Change Act, which is actually potentially going to recommend validated instruments for cognitive assessments within that Medicare annual wellness visit. And that would be a fantastic step forward to have more of an objective measurement of cognitive impairment.
More than 188,000 Georgians live with Alzheimer's disease, and tens of thousands more experience dementia. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
Say One America is planning a $50 million expansion at their Rincon, Georgia facility. The project will add more than 9,800 square feet to the building and create 100 new jobs. The company opened its first Georgia facility in LaGrange in 2008, which has since doubled in size, and began operations in Rincon in 2025. Say One America is one of the largest automobile body parts manufacturing companies in North America. The Atlanta Dream is marking today's anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech by eliminating $10 million in debt for Atlanta families. The team partnered with Cash App and debt relief nonprofit ForgiveCo to identify families in need. The financial support will settle debts for 3,500 families in amounts ranging from $500 to $80,000. The Atlanta Dream also will host a girls' basketball clinic this evening to celebrate the anniversary. The National Hot Rod Association is adding a track near Valdosta to its 2026 schedule. It's part of the National Drag Racing Series' first expansion in more than a dozen years. The NHRA today released a 20-race schedule for the second consecutive year. South Georgia Motorsports Park in Adel, north of Valdosta, and a track in Mechanicsville, Maryland, near Washington, D.C., replace one of two stops in Las Vegas and North Carolina. The NHRA Southern Nationals will take place at the South Georgia track on May 1st through 3rd. One of the nation's top amateur and senior amateur golfers, a member of the Georgia Golf Hall of Fame, died yesterday doing what he loved. Bill Plager collapsed while playing golf at Green Island Country Club in Columbus and was taken to an emergency room where he was pronounced dead. The Muskogee County coroner said his cause of death was heart failure. A native of Brunswick and an 11-time winner of the Golden Isles Invitational, he was Golf Digest's top-ranked senior amateur in 1999. He qualified for the U.S. Amateur six times and played in the U.S. and British Senior Opens, among other accolades. Bill Plager was 85 years old. Well, the Labor Day weekend is here. I hope you have great plans. Do something good for yourself. And if you're traveling, I hope you are prepared. The Georgia Department of Transportation is easing the road travel a little bit by suspending all lane closures on Georgia interstates during the Labor Day travel period. The suspension of lane closures begins at noon on Friday and lasts through Tuesday at 5 a.m., GDOT hopes to reduce delays and increase safety for motorists. Some lane closures may remain in place, however, because of safety or emergency considerations. And if you're traveling on the roads in Atlanta, well, you know it's pretty much always a mess. But this weekend, it could be especially problematic. And MARTA is encouraging visitors and residents to take the trains and buses. We have DragonCon going on. We have the Aflac Kickoff Classic and the Atlanta Hip Hop Day Festival. MARTA said it's providing extra rail services on Saturday and Sunday and will have more staff and police officers assigned to areas with high ridership. And that's it for today's edition of Georgia Today. If you'd like to learn more about these stories, visit gpb.org/news. Hit subscribe on this podcast so you always stay current with us in your feed. And we welcome suggestions, stories, corrections, anything you have to say, send it to georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Orlando Montoya, and we'll be back again tomorrow with another edition of Georgia Today.